Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. This is the show where we talk to the people behind the productivity. I am your host, Eric Fisher. This week, it is my privilege to talk with Cesar Abade about project management, something we've not really tackled per se. Now, we've talked about working on projects. We've talked about project management in the sense of getting a sequence of things done, tasks done even on a list, and then moving forward and calling that project done. But there's so much more to that, and I'm going to really open your eyes, or I should say Cesar will. I've been wanting to have Cesar on for a long time. He kickstarted his book, Project Management for You, about a year ago. And even before that, I knew him for at least a year or two. But once he kickstarted that book, I knew he was going to eventually be a guest on the show. Well, the book is out, and in fact, there's a sale on it right now. Listen to this episode. He will give you the link to go get the book on Amazon for 99 cents and get the audiobook for free. Before we get into that conversation, I want to say thank you to Transpose for supporting this episode of Beyond the To-Do List. Transpose is an app for creating structured notes, for organizing data for your business or personal life or anything in between. The main building blocks of Transpose are templates, notes, and fields. You can create a template by adding whatever field you want into your template, and then you can use that template to create a note and organize it. The great thing about Transpose is that it protects you from making mistakes with those fields by not letting you enter the wrong data. In other words, if there's a template that has a field that is supposed to be a phone number, starting to type letters in there won't work. It won't let you. It won't let you fail. So once you've set up a template and you decide what sort of information your note is going to store, it makes you enter the information correctly or you can't save the note. It's smart. Plus, there's a shared public library of templates from all the users inside of Transpose. I'm having a lot of interesting fun may sound like the wrong word to some of you, but it is fun. It's fun to discover, oh, that's a great template. I'm going to use that one. To pick and choose and be able to say, I want that in my library. So go on over to beyondthetodolist.com/transpose. If you don't know how to spell that word transpose, it's TRANSPOSE. That's beyondthetodolist.com/transpose. This week, it is my privilege to welcome to the show Cesar Abade. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Eric.
I think it's, I said it better this first time, but
you said it fine.
Yeah,
you're the top 10%.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna say it with an American accent. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
there's really no way around it. There's just certain tongues that aren't gonna happen. So,
yeah,
Cesar, you and I have known each other since, I don't know how far back, 2010, 11, somewhere in there online. Somewhere. I cannot remember. I don't know. It's one of those things where once you are interacting with enough people online over time, you just forget when you've actually originally connected with some of them. Unfortunately, that's just how it is. So
yeah. You see a name and then you see a face and then a lot of times you start talking to them and you don't realize it's the first time you're talking to them. You've seen their face before.
Yes.
Hear their voice. You heard their voice on a podcast and you feel like you know them, but you don't. But so, yeah, so the lines are kind of blurry.
Yeah. And that's okay because ultimately I just know that for a long time I've admired your work. You were somebody who, in a sense, almost took the whole productivity thing, or see, and that's not even covering all of it, and we'll get into that. Took it more seriously, more professionally, in some senses than I did, somewhat out of necessity. So I think that's pretty cool. The reason that we're here is because ultimately, one, I wanted to have you on the show for a long time, but two, we held off for a reason, which was you had this book, this Kickstarter that you had done for a book specifically or a project, and now it's done and people can get it and I want people to get it. And I just want to talk all about what the book's about, but I also have all these different questions of, you know, what the heck is a project manager anyway? So let's start there.
Well, as the title says, a project manager is somebody who manages projects. But the question is, what is a project, right?
Yes.
And the definition of a project is any endeavor or initiative that has a definite beginning, a definite end, and creates a unique result or service or product, right? So you might be thinking, okay, so what is not a project then? Well, usually project work is in opposition to operations, if you will. Things that are ongoing and they don't have a definite end. So, for example, the launch of a new Corvette is a project, right? So they design, they do research, they come up with the requirements, and then they make the first car. That's a project. Now, the ongoing manufacturing of that car is operations. So that's the difference there. So a project manager basically is the person who, usually surrounded by a team, manages that project or leads that project. So they oversee the transformation between an idea in someone's mind for a new product to the deliverable. That's what the job of the project manager is in corporate America.
Okay. Let me see if I get this right. If I hear you right, you're saying that a project itself is actual creation. Like there is something, there's something that you have an idea for, you walk it through, and there's a lot of different pieces to this. But there's you start, you walk it through creation and even completion, and that's what a project is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's another way of saying it. It's a project manager is an agent of change, right? So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it takes ideas, turns them into reality. That's what project management does. Or the other way of doing that is you make a promise to someone and then you confidently deliver on that promise, right? Or you get something very specific done. Mm-hmm. Instead of getting things done, like David Allen says, this is about getting the one thing done.
Okay. The way you're describing that title of project manager is just so different from what else, you know, I hear it used as or my preconceived notion of it has been in terms of, like, you know, manager or management or, you know, like in a corporate world, I mean, you know, project manager is always like, oh yeah, the guy in charge, you know, but that's not what it is it? There's actually like an I don't know, like a culture or an industry, or maybe it's both of those, right?
Yeah, especially in the online world, I see this thrown around a lot. Especially the guys who are doing really well with online businesses, they go and hire a project manager. What they're really hiring is a business manager, you know, somebody who's going to oversee their team, come up with procedures and processes for their work, but that is operations, as I defined earlier. It's not really projects. A project manager, let's say, Eric, that you want to create a new training program or a new course on productivity. So if you hire a project manager to help you, they are the ones who are going to be helping you deliver on that one project, right? And that is out in the project management industry, that's how you define the role of the project manager. And you're right. There's a whole industry out there. There are a few bodies that recognize the profession of project manager. The biggest one being the Project Management Institute, which is based in the U.S. and they have chapters all over the world. There is one here in my little Canadian hometown, and there's hundreds of these chapters. And they regulate and they give out certifications to project managers. They hold conferences. It's a very bubbly, very lively community. But yeah, well, we tend to live in corporate America. And that's why I kind of don't fit into that mold, because I grew up in a, professionally speaking, in a family business that's very small. And I've always had the title of project manager. And for years, I didn't know what he meant. I had the same idea that you have, you know, it's like, oh, it sounds cool on my business card. And until I decided to become a little bit more employable and more, I wanted to know more about the profession. So I figured out there's a certification to take. So I pursued that. And in the process, I actually learned proper project management, you know, from the textbook. And it was really boring. It's really dry. but it was really useful. And that's what kind of got me excited about this topic, because I feel like guys like you and I and people listening right now, there's so much that we can learn from this body of knowledge related to project management, but the language isn't accessible because they're written, the books are written for the Apples and the Googles and the Amazons, and not for us. But the concepts are solid, and they can really help you, and they've helped me, and that's why I'm talking to you today. It's because of project management. You know, without it, I wouldn't have launched the podcast. I wouldn't have written a book, for example. So it's really helpful, but there's a lot of the language and the material out there is not really accessible.
It almost sounds like project managers are, in a sense, like lawyers, where there's this other... Like you, in other words, you have to pass a certain official test and know the lingo and know the precedents and all that kind of stuff before you can actually do it properly.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people out there, quote unquote, practicing law who don't have degrees, especially on Facebook. There's a lot of lawyers on Facebook. I don't know if you realize that, on social media with legal opinions about everything. But you're right. Yeah, if you want to be a certified project manager, then you need to go and take this test and learn all this lingo and stuff.
And you've done all that, so you're officially, what's the title? Like,
I'm a project management professional.
Okay.
And then you, if you're writing that down, you need to put the little registered mark. Trademark after that. So
nice. So you officially passed, and now you are able to manage projects and handle complexity when it comes to creating these things.
Yes, and I think the transformation in me was greater than your average, because I am naturally very disorganized and I start confused. Right, I'm really I'm a daydreamer. I love to spend time watching videos on YouTube and thinking up jokes and playing with the kids, and which is a great set of skills for family life and for having fun, but in the business world is not really useful. And even though I went to engineering school and I'm kind of a smart guy, I never could finish anything. I couldn't accomplish anything. I couldn't basically create things. You know, I couldn't do projects. And when I learned the principles of project management and I started applying that, all of a sudden, boom, 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 I'm delivering things. I'm actually standing out, and I'm, you know, finally in life, you know, I'm actually doing things that I can be proud of. And to the point that I got so excited that I started blogging, I started podcasting about this. I just wanted to tell everyone about how project management can help. If you help me, it can help you.
Okay. One of the other misconceptions, I think, that I've been guilty of this, to be honest, especially in the productivity world, was where we talk about, or even in the non-productivity world for that matter, when someone says, for example, hey, I have a project for you. It's not really a project in terms of the technical definition that you've been speaking of, and as project managers would think of. They're thinking more in terms of, yeah, here's a list of things, and once you've done it, the project, quote-unquote, is complete. And that's just wrong, right?
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, it's all on how you frame it, right? So if you have a list of, let's say, requirements for this one thing, like, can you give me an example? I don't know, if creating a website for someone, I know, something like that. That is a project, actually. You know, if you have a set of requirements of something that needs to be done, and it all kind of binds together into some sort of a whole, and you have a deadline and you have a budget, you know, it's a project. So you can apply project management to it, and that helps you be confident in delivering that. And when giving a price to a client, for example, for this website you're going to build for them, you can plan it using project management, and then out of the planning process, you come up with a budget that is not just guesswork. It's actually, you know, very accurate. And then you can give that to the client, and also a timeline and a schedule. So, you know, that is also not guesswork, but it's based on how you planned it using these project management tools and techniques.
So, okay. Yeah. And I think what I'm getting at is that a lot of people refer to projects or they refer to tasks as projects.
Right.
In other words, and I think what I'm trying to get at here, and I hear you saying, is that a project is really something that is has complexity to it and has a beginning, middle, and end, and even preparation and even winding up and winding down and finding the right people to work on it and design, you know, figuring out what you even need to do, figuring out, and this is a really key component, figuring out in the project what it is that needs to be done that you don't even know, I think is one of the key things. And I actually sat and thought about that one for a while. and actually, so let me ask you, let's back up for a second. What are the components of good project management? What is all in that big jumble of complexity? Let's simplify it.
Okay. And So one thing that right at the beginning of this question, you mentioned, you know, tasks versus the project. And here's the thing: a project delivers a thing, right? It delivers a something that is a noun. A task is a verb, right? So it's not the same thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A task is a way of delivering that noun. And when you break down that noun, that project into tasks, what you're doing is you're locking yourself into a way of doing it. You're not really breaking that project down into manageable chunks. You're just telling yourself ahead of time, before doing any planning, how you plan to do it. And that's why a lot of people, they don't take actions on those to-do lists, because they do the first task, and right after that first task is done, they realize that, hey, this is not the best way to do this. And now the rest of the tasks they don't apply anymore. And now they have to rethink all that. So the basic idea of project management is you take this complex thing that you need to deliver to your client or to yourself or to your family, and it's complex. So you can't just translate that into one task. So you know ahead of time it's going to take more than one task. So what you do is you take that complex thing and you break it down into manageable chunks. And when you break it down, you're not breaking it down into tasks, but you're breaking it down into smaller things, smaller nouns instead of verbs, right? And then there's a way of breaking them down and actually double-checking to make sure that it's enough and it's sufficient and it's not too broken down. And I describe that process in the book there, to the point that you get to one small enough chunk of this project, which is called a work package. And this is something that you can deliver in a small time frame, like between a day or a week. And when you get to this level of smallness, if you will, that is when the magic starts to happen, because this one work package is something you can estimate cost and schedule. You can figure out, okay, let's say this one part of the project is small enough that I can hand it off to someone, so it's easier to know what and when to delegate to people. And when you do that, you can ask the person you're delegating to, how long is it going to take you to do this one task and or this one deliverable, and how much are you going to charge me? So you get that for that one grain, right, if you will, of the project, you get that information. And once you do that for all the other ones, all you have to do is add it all up, and now you have a budget, you know, and then you can sequence them in a timeline, and now you have a schedule. And then if it's the budget is too big, now you know what to cut out, because you have that information. So in the book, I go, you know, step by step on how to do that. But it's an exercise that takes that complex thing and break it down into manageable chunks, so you can focus on things that take a day or a week to complete and not 6 months. And now all of a sudden you can actually think about that with clarity. You can bring your team together. You can delegate. And you can keep track of schedules and budgets in a way that is not overwhelming, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And so one of the places where I think I see the crossover between productivity and project management is some of what you were describing. As you were describing it, I was thinking of, oh, you're really just saying you have to do the right amount of work about the work before you start doing the work. And by doing that, the work is easier or better or more simplified, all of the above, really.
Yeah. And productivity, you know, it's more like it's a less the edges are kind of fuzzy there for mm-hmm. me. You know? In my mind, productivity is you being productive, you're producing things and in a way that makes sense, and and you can do more in less time, and there's a lot to be said about that's a fantastic thing. While and productivity applies to everything in your life, right? So for getting things done, for example, we talked about that here. That is a great productivity system because it helps you deal with everything on a horizontal level, everything that happens to you, you know, personally, professionally, you know, within your family, and it provides you with a system to deal with those things so you can actually make sense of it all. Now, once you, let's say you're using GTD and you came up with all these things that you need to do, like you need to plan that birthday party, you need to build that deck, you need to whatever, fill in the blanks. Now, you know, it's very horizontal, as I said, because it goes across your all aspects of your life. Now you have in front of you, you have a bunch of projects, right? So now you're ready to go vertical, to go down into and focus on one outcome, right? So, you know, I don't know if I came up with this or if I read it somewhere, but productivity and getting things done is about doing the right things, right? You figure out what to do. And then project management is about doing things right. So once you know exactly what to do, then you can use project management to achieve that. So in my book, I don't go into these questions about life in general, about, you know, what you need to do with your life and what to do. I start from the principle that you figured that out already and you know that you have to do this one thing. And now, you know, let's use project management and deliver it.
Yeah, you don't really go into, you know, here's how to decide which project to do or, you know, which, you know, what you don't talk about, you know, deciding or choosing.
Discernment, yeah.
Yes, exactly. You talk more about, hey, here's how to take this complex and even dry thing that's incredibly useful and bring it down to a place where you as an everyday person can understand and apply it to creating and doing those things that you want to do.
Yeah, exactly. And I've heard this from you, Eric, and also from Mike Vardy, you know, about, you know, productivity, just being productive and getting to inbox zero. It's meaningless, right? I mean, what is it that you're trying to achieve? And my opinion is all the people that we know, you know, we know a lot of people, we have a lot of friends in common, Eric, who are really successful, right, in this online world.
Right.
And if you think about them, what set them apart is that they actually delivered on things. They had an idea for a product or a service or an online course or an online community, a membership site, and they created it and they delivered it, and now they're selling it. And I think there's much more value into finding that one thing or two things or a sequence of things that are one at a time, right? One thing that you need to do. And there's even a book with that name, right? The One Thing. Mm-hmm. Finding that one thing and working on that one thing and actually focusing on delivering that. I think there's more value, and that's going to push you forward in life much more than just in being a more productive person in general, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think so. Kind of like each time you complete something of worth or value, that it's a stepping stone or it's something to build upon for future, for your future.
Yeah exactly. And again, it's the things that you build that that you know you'll leave behind as a legacy, and it's what you'll be able to sell. I think it really pays off if you invest some effort into the art of delivering, you know, that one thing. And that's what project management is. It's just that it's how companies use it, but not so much the individual. I'm trying to change that.
Yeah, I like that. And you even set out and treated this book as a project and even did a Kickstarter. Talk a little bit about that process of how did you approach this book as a project?
Yeah. So the one thing that I did is I'd never written a book before. And this is Project Management 101, by the way. You know, you bring people in to help you with it's never a solo job, right? So what I did is I worked with a coach who has helped a lot of authors before. And even before I did anything, I sat down with him and I said, listen, here's the thing. I know writing a book and self-publishing is going to have some costs. And right now I don't have the cash, right? For to do the whole thing. So I'd like to sit down with you and figure out exactly how this is going to work so I can come up with an idea for a budget or for how much money I need, what kind of work I'll need to have done. And then my idea is to figure out a way to come up with the cash. So he was really nice. I mean, he said, you know, sure. So we had a few sessions in which he didn't charge me, coaching sessions. And I basically asked him all the questions. Okay, so what are all the moving parts for writing a book? And we went through it. And I asked a lot of questions that were really pointed about, you know, editing and cover design, interior layout, printing, ISBN number, barcodes, you know, what do I charge for the book, different price points for the European market and Canadian market and things like that, you know, Library of Congress. And I just asked all the questions that I could think of. And I also asked him to tell me, okay, have I missed anything? So we talked about this project for a few sessions in detail, and I created this huge mind map with notes. And then I spent some time planning. I just looked at the mind map, and I figured out how things would fit with each other. So it would be more of an organizational chart type of mind map instead of just a loose, disorganized mind map. And with that, I was able to do what I just told you, which is to break things down. Okay, this is the all the artwork that needs to be done. You know, for example, cover design, the dust jacket and the hardcover design, the interior layout. And then I was able to, working with the coach, figure out, okay, how much is this going to cost me? Do you know who does it? Can you recommend a professional to do this? And he had all those contacts. So I was able to figure out for each one of those sub items how much each one was going to cost and how long it was going to take, what depended on what, right? So I could have an idea of how long this thing was going to take. And once I had a budget and I had some sort of a timeline, I said, you know, this is how much money I'm going to need, right? And then I decided to do the Kickstarter campaign. So when I put that goal, for the cash goal for the Kickstarter campaign, it wasn't just a guess. You know, I had done some planning. And that was a goal that I set for myself there. And the Kickstarter campaign was great because, number one, it was successful, hugely successful. I got 121% funded in 33 days. So that was really cool. But it also validated the idea, right? So if I couldn't get people to back the project, to me, it would be a good indication that maybe that was not a topic that would be of interest. So maybe I shouldn't even write the book in the first place. And then once I got funded, that's when I started writing the book. And by then I had done so much planning that I knew what was coming, right? So that's for a guy like me who is completely, completely disorganized and I have a hard time focusing. These tools really help me come up with these plans that I can actually follow them later. And do one thing at a time and slowly but surely deliver on that idea. And you've gotten the book. I mean, it's done, it's delivered. And the fact that I was able to do that, to me, validates the whole point of the book, which is, you know, hey, here's how these tools and techniques and this methodology can help you have an idea in your mind and then deliver on it.
Yeah, I was one of the original Kickstarter supporters. I'm literally holding my hard copy in my hand right now, which is pretty stinking cool. you mentioned, so how, what was the timeline on this? You started the Kickstarter when?
Yeah, I started the Kickstarter, I think it was September of 2014. And I grossly miscalculated how long it would take for me to write it. Which of the whole process, that was the one variable that I had no idea because I had never written a book before. So my estimates of everything else was pretty accurate. But the time that it took me to actually write the book was, I was way off. So the Kickstarter campaign ended in, I think, end of October or end of September of 2014. And you got your book when, like about a month ago?
Yeah, so September. So about September to yeah. September, about a year.
About a year.
At the time of this recording, we're in October of 2015. So,
yeah,
that's interesting. What was the most surprising piece of that you didn't maybe know you didn't know about books?
About books. the editing process is a lot more arduous than I expected it to be. I write pretty well. I'm not a, as you can tell, I'm not a native English speaker, but I feel like I can write better than I can speak. But even then, once you work with a professional editor, it's very humbling.
Yes,
because it comes back. He sat with it for a couple of weeks, and then he came back all marked up and with all these suggestions. But it was a great experience, and I thought, okay, I'm gonna write it, he's gonna edit it, send it back to me, and I'll approve it, and that's gonna be it. But it wasn't that at all. It was a back and forth. I don't know. I think he went back and forth maybe 6 or 7 times, and that's another reason why it took so long. Based on some of the suggestions, I had to scrap entire chapters, write new chapters, write better stories here and there that explained the concepts better. So it was it just took a lot longer than I expected. But I'm happy with the end result. And now, if I am to write another book, I'll know now that is a big part of it, is the editing.
Yeah.
So that's definitely something I didn't expect to be that involved.
One of the things that I took away as I was listening to you talk about that process, and even as I read it in the book, I kept thinking a lot of people need to approach their online endeavors with project management, because you were doing it the right way, where you planned it. I mean, you had to adjust for time and different things like that, and it took longer than you wanted it to. However, you didn't put out something that wasn't done, and you didn't, try to just, use gumption and have motivation and just write about your passion and put something out there. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much different guidance and advice that goes along those lines.
Yeah.
And doesn't follow a certain amount of, hey, you know what? You might want to finish the thing before you launch it or put it out there, et cetera. So,
Yeah. There's, now there's something to be said about momentum, about getting started. And I think that is the false dichotomy. It's either you just ship it, anything, or you just plan forever and never do it. And I think there's in project management in the industry, this is it's a big deal right now, especially in software development. There's a happy medium there in which you take a small step and you throw something out there, see if it sticks, and if it does, you learn from it and then you elaborate more. It's a concept called progressive elaboration, right? So in this example, it would be the fact that I did the Kickstarter campaign first. So I hadn't written a book, but the Kickstarter campaign was my first step, right? So I got momentum there, and I shipped something, which was the campaign. And based on the results of the campaign, I learned something. I learned that, number one, I have now the cash. Number two, hey, I sold, over 100 copies of this thing before I even wrote it. So you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have the book then, but I took action, but it was kind of calculated in a way.
I like that. I like that, the happy medium, or the, I don't know, I almost see it as, project management allows you to strike that perfect balance between, not letting something sit in perpetual, never being shipped, but also not, shipping something too soon before it's fully done.
Right. One of the steps there that I talk about in the book, it's after you come up with the requirements and you do some estimating and you take a step back and you look at the monster you created on paper. I have a chapter called Decision Making Time. And one of the decisions that are absolutely valid at this point is to decide not to go ahead. But it's not like you're quitting. It's a conscious decision based on your planning that, hey, this is right now, it's going to take more money, more resources, and more time that I have available to this. And I'm not going to do it, So it's a valid output of the planning process to just drop it, But you're doing that not because you're afraid of complexity, or because you're afraid to take action, or because you're afraid of the unknown, but because you are actually you have clarity and you can see and you can look at this and make a conscious decision that it's not the right time.
Yeah, you're not doing it based on mood or emotion. You're doing it on concrete, almost data and experimentation.
Exactly. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. I mean, if you read that, the book is really easy. It's really fast to read. And it's all it takes is a little bit of planning ahead of time so you can look at it and have these estimates and figure out how long, how much, and all those things so you can actually, with confidence, make a decision.
Now, in the process, you mentioned mind mapping, and I'm not sure that I've ever had anybody talk about mind mapping on this show before. In fact, it's probably worth an entire show in and of itself. What is that? How do you do that?
Yeah, mind mapping is it's almost like asking me, so talk about sticky notes. What are sticky notes? I mean, they can be used for so many things. And the way I talk about mind mapping there is a visual representation of your project, right? So when I talk about breaking things down, so you start with a mind map. So if you can imagine a mind map right now in front of you, like a brand new mind map, it has just a central circle, right? A central bubble. And in that central bubble, you name that bubble the name of the project. So in this case, it'd be the book, right? And then what you do is you break that project, that book project, into sub-bubbles, right, that relate to it. So in the context of project management here, when you break it down, so you break the book down into, let's say, writing and printing and cover design and things like that. You break it down that way, and then one thing that you do is you ask yourself, once you broke that first bubble down into its sub-bubbles, you ask yourself the question, okay, if I deliver on each one of these sub-bubbles, is the parent bubble complete? And if the answer is yes, you've broken it down correctly. If the answer is no, you have some more work to do, right? So you do that, and then you do the same exercise again for each of the sub-bubbles. Okay, so you look at printing and you break that down. Okay, so I need to source a printer. I need to interview them. I need to, you break that down into sub-deliverables, and then you ask yourself the same question. If I deliver on each one of these sub-deliverables, will this parent bubble be complete? And if the answer is yeah, that's called the 100% rule when you're breaking down deliverables. So you do that for each of these bubbles, and the mind map is a perfect tool to do this. In project management lingo, this thing that you create is called a work breakdown structure, or WBS. But for the layperson, it's basically a mind map, and a mind map is a beautiful thing because you can move things around, and you're not locking yourself into a way of doing things. You're not locking yourself into a sequence of events, because if you use an outline, for example, your brain starts thinking sequentially, and that now it's not the time to think about sequences. It's time to think about how to break this down into manageable chunks. So a mind map in this context is really, really helpful. I mean, I use it all the time. I use it all the time, literally like every day I use a mind map, because that's the only way I can actually visualize things, things work in my mind. So different people will use mind maps in different ways. You can use it to brainstorm ideas with teams. But in project management, I really recommend you do it. You use the mind map to break down the complexity of the project into its moving parts.
And there's a ton of different paid and even free mind mapping software out there for all devices.
Yeah.
One of the things,
Do you use mind mapping?
I have at times. I think that I've never fully understood, and I'll say this, I never until reading this book really understood what the purpose of a mind map was. I think I have a better idea or more clarity in terms of how to use it. For me, it was just like a visual list, but it's actually not as simple or as complex as that.
Yeah, and it is a visual list, but the beauty of it is that it doesn't lock your brain into sequences, right? Into a timeline,
right?
which to-do lists tend to do that to you. So you
first do this, then do this, then do this. Yes. So I know that there's a ton of different tools out there, and one of the things that you have a great anecdote in the book, and I want you to just share it here. It's just essentially the way that productivity people are approaching it. There's a lot, and you like me have people who will come up to you and they'll ask you, oh, what tool do you know? What system, what tools are you using? And it's your analogy is that it's more like a recipe.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Why does that work that way?
Yeah. So the analogy I use is, and I start the book off with this because I know that, because I've had this question so many times, and I know that people will get the book hoping that I'm going to tell them, use this tool, use this software, right? And the analogy I use that is, you go to a dinner party and your friends cook this delicious meal and you like it so much, you want to do it. You want to replicate it at home. And you say, man, this chicken is delicious. So tell me, what brand of oven do you use? You know, which is completely off the mark. And that's not the right question to ask. I mean, you need to ask what's the recipe? What's the process you use to create this? It's not about the temperature of the oven. I mean, those are kind of important, but not the main thing. You know, if you're off by a few degrees, it doesn't make a difference. So the right question to ask is, what's the recipe? And that's the same thing for project management. You know, what is your system as opposed to what is the tool that you use?
Yeah, I just, I loved hearing that.
Because once you have a system, then you can go and find the tool that, you know, I don't have a single tool that I use. You know, and depending on the project, it's a different system I'm using. It's a different tool that I might use. So I end up using a collection of different tools because some tools do things better than others, but my system is my system, you know. So I use Evernote for some things because Evernote is great for doing particular things. And then I use a task management system for something else. And you know what I mean? So the tool itself is only important if you know and you're really familiar with the system and you're confident that it works, and then you can go and find a tool to help you deliver on that system.
Yeah, I love it. So in winding down here, I want to get people to the point where, and you're doing a great job of this. You're getting this book out there to so many different people, and you're actually doing like this awesome sale. So at least at the time of this release of this podcast episode, you can get it and get more than just the book. Tell everybody what you're doing.
Yeah. So, and I'll be honest here. I'm trying to create a little bit of buzz on Amazon. So I'm trying to encourage people to go and get the book in Kindle and in Kindle format. So what I'm doing, the regular price is $9.99. So what I'm doing for the end of October, so between October 21st and October 31st, is I'm dropping the price down to 99 cents, which is I think it's 99% off. And so if you buy it during this time, you'll be able to get it for that price. And then if you send me the receipt or the proof of purchase, then I will send you the audio version of the book. And I think for your audience of podcast listeners, this might be actually the most attractive part. I know I love audiobooks, and that's how I consume books. So So again, the book is 99 cents for this period of time. And if you send me proof of purchase, you get also the audiobook for free, which is I'm planning on selling it for over $20. So it's a great, great value right there.
So where can people go to take advantage of this?
Right. So the website is projectmanagementforyou.com. And that's the name of the book, by the way. Projectmanagementforyou.com. If you go there during this time, it's a very simple landing page, and you'll be able to see all the three, you know, step one, buy the book here. Step two, send me the receipt to this address. Step three, collect your audiobook. It's very straightforward. So projectmanagementforyou.com.
Awesome. Caesar, this has been probably your first time on the show. and then we'll have other time. I say probably like I'm guessing or something.
Yeah, you will like
be back on the show at some other point in time, and we will talk in depth about other things. But this time has been awesome. Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, Eric, you know, it's an honor. I listen to your show. I've accompanied your work, and you're doing a fantastic job with Beyond To-Do List, and it's an absolute honor to be on.
So what do you think? Has your brain exploded with new revelations or realizations of what a project is and what a project manager is, or how to go through and create a project and actually design something, create something? I know mine has shifted a bit. I read the book one time through, then had this conversation with Caesar. I need to reread the book again. And in fact, I'm going to probably go listen to the audiobook. I like listening to Caesar speak. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Let me know by tweeting to me, twitter.com/Eric with a K, the letter J, F-I-S-H-E-R. Let Caesar know as well. And make sure in your projects to go add this tool to your arsenal of Transpose. Again, the app for creating structured notes, for organizing your data for your business, for your personal life, for that project you need to get started and finish. Again, beyondthetodolist.com/transpose. If you've enjoyed this episode, head on over to iTunes and leave us a rating or a review. You can find that at beyondthetodolist.com/iTunes. Or if there's someone in particular that you know would benefit from listening to this specific episode, make sure to share it with them. Think of that person. Open up your phone while you're listening right now, or at your desktop, wherever you're listening, whatever. Take that note, capture that person's name, email address, tweet, whatever. Let that person know. Thank you so much. I'll see you next episode. Beyond the To-Do List is a proud member of the Noodle Mix Network. Find more of our award-winning and award-nominated podcasts to make you think, laugh, and succeed at noodle.mx. Learn how to podcast. Theorize over the TV shows Once Upon a Time, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, and Under the Dome. Laugh with our clean comedy, delve into science fiction and philosophy, learn critical thinking from movie reviews, and more at noodle.mx.